Good evening and welcome to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, a show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm your host for this evening. And tonight we've got a great show with three really amazing women. And all pushing forward Bahamian culture, craft, etc. We're going to be talking tonight about the whole rebrand of Dungalik, the entire campus, what's going on there. And for many of you listening, I'm sure you would know who the amazing Pam Burnside is. Pam has so much to say about her that, you know, I could be here all night. She's a cultural icon herself. She started Dungalik Studios in the 70s with her husband, Jackson Burnside, who, again, if you are a cultural aficionado, you know exactly who that is. So I'm just going to kick it straight over to Pam. And then later on, we're going to hear from Nadine Runfal and Fina Christie, who are running the Craft Cottage on that compound. So, Pam, welcome to the Blank Canvas. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Glad to be alive. That's the only way I enter that sort of greeting now, because we can't take that for granted in this COVID time.
No, we really can't. You're right. I mean, just I know it feels weird to ask, how are you doing? Because I think none of us are really doing brilliantly, but we're all kind of hanging in there. So yeah. let's assume some of the audience don't know who Pam Burnside is and don't know what Dungalik is. Just tell us a little bit about how Dungalik started and, you know, why it's there and what it means for us and for everybody in the creative community.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dungalik, as you said, started in the 1970s when my late husband and I came back from England. And as you know, or probably don't know, he's an architect, trained architect and artist. And he was studying for his RIBA certification, where we met in London, where I was studying fashion design. And we came back to the Bahamas really intent on taking Bahamian art, culture, and heritage to the world. And that's why we started Dungalik Studios. It's been around for many, many years and longer than a lot of people listening in were alive. And it really was a cultural center to just expose Bahamian art and culture to the world. And that included locally as well as internationally. And we continued to put on art shows, to have conversations, to make sure that people here in the Bahamas knew about the rich and unique talent that we had here as Bahamians, and to let the world know about this very important secret that we seem to continue to hide. And so we applied to UNESCO just before Jackson died and were successful in getting Nassau to be designated as the UNESCO Creative City of Crafts and Folk Arts. And that was a really big accomplishment for us, because Nassau is now, with 260 cities all around the world, recognized as this wonderful city of culture. And the journey continues, like Ferguson says.
Let me just jump in and say that you pretty much did that single-handedly. I mean, you are part of Creative Nassau, which is a group of individuals, including Patricia Clinton McCullis and many others, who really want to push, again, Nassau and the Bahamas as this cultural center. But that was done without government involvement. And you've always been such an icon to many of us, because you're someone who doesn't sit around and, like, say, oh, why isn't the government doing this and why isn't the government doing that? I mean, we all say that, but you just go and get it done. You just go and get it done. And I think that's such an amazing thing. And I'd love other Bahamians to look at you and see that it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doing is very important to me. I talk, but I also do. And I have I'm almost 70, and I have no more patience for people who talk and don't do anything. So those of you who read my letters in the press and listen to my rants know that, you know, I may talk and I may criticize, but it's constructive criticism. So if you're not bringing something to the table that's going to help all of us, the greater good is the word. You know, we're doing this. Creative Nassau is a nonprofit, and we're doing this for the greater good and for the benefit of we the people. So if you're not serious, you know, don't waste your time talking to me.
Yeah, that's for sure. I never want to be on the other end of your poison pen. And Dungalik doesn't just do art, and I think that's what's so great. So, you know, you've reached out, like, you have the Craft Cottage there. We'll talk about it later, which is reaching into, like, again, very often the crafts are sort of seen as second class somehow, whereas we know that they're kind of the backbone of Bahamian culture. But also you have the farmer's market, you know, and you're really always speaking about And like you said, Jackson was an architect. Dungalook itself is this beautiful traditional building that you maintain. And it's so important. Like you really approach culture in a very holistic way, which I think is so important.
Yeah, it's all embracing. And that's what Jackson and I were all about. You know, we wanted, there is so much going on in the Bahamas and all of our islands that we wanted people to know about it. And as a Junkanoo, he also had a radio show called Junkanoo Talks. And so he was able to reach out to all of the family islands. And the family islands are very important. You know, we always think of Nassau as just being the Bahamas, but it isn't. The family islands really are the repository to all of our Bahamian culture, and we need to respect them and respect the people who have made it so, as they say on Star Trek. So for us, COVID really brought things into perspective for us. Before Jackson died, which was 2011, we were talking about all the things that we had planned to do, and getting the Creative Nassau designation was a way to push us forward. That was the engine for Creative Nassau to really do things. And unfortunately, we still don't have a lot of government, backing, but we don't care about that. We do what we have to do. We make things happen.
Amen.
And so, yep. And in 2020, Jackson made this prediction years ago that by the year 2020, more visitors would come to the Bahamas because of our art, culture, and heritage rather than merely for our sun, sand, and sea. And little did he know that he wouldn't be here when 2020 rolled around. Mm. But last year was a very seminal point for us because of his prediction. And COVID came at the same time. And this year, of course, 2011 was the 10th anniversary of his death. And we wanted to do something very significant. So with COVID came the idea of a lot of people, a lot of creatives rethinking the orange economy and what we were going to do, because we came to a standstill all around the world. And we were thinking what we could do that was different, even though he had made that 2020 prediction. And so we decided that we would rebrand the Dungalook Studios Art Gallery and make it a repository of Jackson's artwork. We sold, I think we were one of the largest institutions selling Bahamian art in all the different mediums and genres. But we decided that we would focus on his art and his design and then still continue to sell Bahamian books. We are all Bahamian. We don't do foreign in Dungalook. Bahamian books, the ceramics, and the woodwork. And we were able to open his Jackson Logan Burnside III Design Library and Research Center this year, which was really something that I was working towards to make sure that that got done on his 10th anniversary. And so it was a really wonderful time for us last month to be able to open both of these facilities. It was a whole lot of work, but it really was worth it. And his legacy is very much alive in doing that.
Yeah, no, it's really fantastic. I came for a visit and, for audiences, again, that don't know, Dungalook used to, as Pam spoke to, had art exhibitions with other artists. And now if you go in, and I think it's really amazing because this is one of the, challenges we had at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas when I was still working there, was that, we do have what we call the permanent exhibition on the ground floor, but we change that every year to show different things from the collection. But what we don't have are important institutions to some of the icons that really put us on the map. So, Jackson Burnside, Amos Ferguson, people that aren't with us anymore. And we don't have permanent spaces. If you come from a city like New York and you have a giant museum, you can have a whole wing dedicated to a certain artist or a certain collector. We don't have that luxury here. So I think that's something we could think about also as a community, is how to create spaces that honor some of these people. So what you've done is really important, because now there's basically a permanent memorial to Jackson Burnside.
Yes.
And his work is, because he passed young, because he also had his whole architecture career, his paintings are really, and I don't want to say few and far between, but he's not like, he didn't churn them out like Amos Ferguson did. There aren't thousands of them around the world. So this is really a treasure. I mean, this is really like a treasure box we have on the island. It's something that is so important for anyone to go see, but especially I would really encourage schools to go. So on the ground floor, basically you have work of Jackson's from very early on. I mean, there were works that I'd never seen to really late in his career. How did you go about finding all of them? How did you go about convincing everybody to loan you that work for, you know, permanently?
Right. Well, all of the work on display really is from our personal, the family collection of Jackson's work. We didn't sell everything. There were paintings and artifacts that we really loved that we made sure that we kept in our own collection. But we do have on loan from his sister from the homestead, two of his pieces from 1970s when he would have been doing his second degree at the University of Pennsylvania. And he would have painted these in the summer break. Probably when he was home and he came home for a summer holiday. And they are very really exciting to see because a lot of people haven't seen a lot of the work that is in display. As I said, it was at home. And we have shown some of them, of course, in the National Art Gallery shows on loan. So, and as well as the Diaghilev Art Foundation, who have a treasure trove of a lot of his seminal pieces as well. And we know that we can always go back there because they're our cousins to see the work and, you know, loan it if necessary. So it really was wonderful to be able to change the gallery around. We changed, we painted everything and moved around the furniture. And it's really funny because, you know, people have been coming to the gallery and they say, but was this there before? I said, yes, it was. It's just because the paint has changed and the movement of the things being moved around, it really gives it a whole new fresh look. And it was, you know, during spring, during Easter. So it was a renewal that we made a conscious effort to make happen. So as I said, we have to thank everybody who continues to help us, and particularly Penelope Nordich up in the Jackson Burnside Library, who is our librarian, who can only work on the weekend because she has a real job, a day-to-day job. And without her, we couldn't have gotten a lot of this done. But the library itself is, you know, we have almost 1,000 books already logged in on that catalog. And that's Jackson's personal library. And that does not include all of the magazines, all of his speeches, all of his writings, all of his radio shows. There's just so much still to add. So it's definitely a work in progress for some time.
So this is really just the beginning in a way. You know, you could see how many ways it could continue. You know, you could, like you said, borrow some works from, say, the Diaghilev and do a little mini show within the show. Add, I mean, it would be great to have an archive of his radio shows. I mean, there's so much to do. So yes. I really, really encourage listeners to go. I mean, even if you've been to Dungalik, and this is something even people said at the NHGB, they were like, oh, I went there a couple of years ago. Should I go back? You know, galleries do change their shows and they, or things look different or there's something new to discover. So I would encourage people really to go to Dungalik and see this new refreshed, as Pam said, renewed and refreshed Dungalik and learn more about Jackson Burnside, because I think another thing that I also learned while I was there and I learn all the time is that there's always more to discover. Like you think, oh yeah, Jackson Burnside, yeah, I know him, I know his work. No, man, you don't, because there's always a new little something to find, and especially at Dungalik. So tell us what Dungalik's hours are, how people can find you.
Yeah, and we do have a show in the gallery as well that Penelope Nordich has put on, an annual show of young artists of the Bahamas. It's showing emerging artists, and it's really fascinating. So you can also see that when you come in. It'll be up until the middle of June, and it's from primary school up to tertiary level artists as well. And it's a fundraiser for the artists themselves, and it's great to see the emerging artists being able to have a voice, because that was really set, that foundation was set in the 1970s when a lot of the Bahamian artists, the first set of Bahamian artists came back to the Bahamas after studying abroad and really made art in the forefront of what we were doing. Because otherwise it was just foreign people coming to the Bahamas to use our beautiful light and our environment to paint. But now we have our own Bahamian artists making a really world-class reputation for themselves all around the world.
Yep, absolutely. And it really is happening. That somehow, I hate to use the word being discovered because it seems like, you know, we weren't here before, but the Bahamas is really having a moment in the world. So as Pam was referring to, you know, it's so important to go out and support your scene. The Bahamas is having a moment. We are now known around the world for being an art destination, just as Jackson predicted. But it's not just for other people to come discover us. It's for us to support ourselves. So go out, go to your galleries, go to the NAGB, go to Dungalik, go to the Diagola Arts Foundation, and, you know, show up for your artists and appreciate, you know, everything that we have. So Dungalik is on Village Road. Pam will be back after the break to tell us about the hours and give us a little bit more about the library as well and how you can access the library. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to hear from Nadine and Fina, who also run the Craft Cottage on the Dungalik property, and they're going to tell us all about what they're doing at the Craft Cottage and how that's also been refreshed and renewed. You are listening to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda. I'm your host for this evening, and we're going to be right back after this break.